For us living in North America at this day and age, the idea of suffering and persecution is foreign to most of us. When we feel pain in suffering, we have medicines of every kind to make the pain go away. When we have been treated badly, unfairly, we also have lawyers of every kind to help us to fight for our rights and demand compensation. So today's passage from Apostle Peter, to many of us, it may find very foreign, and some may think it is irrelevant. For example, it talks about emperor. We don't have emperor now. Please note that the emperor that Peter talked about is probably the Roman emperor Nero, who is famous for his brutalness, his godliness, who ruled between AD 54 to AD 68. The legend has it that this emperor set the city of Rome on fire while he was playing a fiddle. And he blamed Christians for it later. And he burned Christians to death as a human torch. Yet, Peter encouraged the Christians to honor, to obey the emperor. He also, Peter, asked Christians to obey the government structure, follow the rules and laws of the land, pay our taxes. As Christians, we should also obey the government, follow the rules and laws of the land, and pay our taxes. And in general, we should be good citizens. Only in rare and exceptional situations, when the rule and laws of the land is contradictory to God's law, that we should exercise civil disobedience. How about slaves? We don't have slaves this day and age. Is it relevant to talk about slaves submitting to their masters? And it seems that the New Testament author seems to condone slavery, telling slaves to submit to their masters. Well, the reality of the world, slavery is the reality of the world in Bible times. Slaves were common household servants. It was estimated there were one-third of the population in the Roman Empire were slaves. The Bible author did not advocate abolition of the slavery system because it is so fundamental to the economic structure. The Bible writers did not say, we should get rid of it overnight. Just like it is pretty hard for us to get rid of the credit card system of today. We may say some of the credit card system cause a lot of people into trouble, make them into a heavy debt that they cannot afford. But it would be probably not beneficial to say that we should get rid of it right away. Yet the Bible writers introduce new ideas, which is quite foreign in that time. And does those ideas eventually lead to the abolition of slavery many centuries later? For example, the Bible talks about human dignity, that everyone is of value before God because every human being was created according to the image of God. And Bible author also says about equality. Everyone is equal before Christ. There were no Jews, difference between Jews nor Greek. There is no difference between slaves nor free, male nor female. Every one of us are equal in Christ Jesus. So today's passage with that Apostle Peter speaks to slaves. Notice Peter did not address to masters because probably in his church, the audience, there is only slaves, no masters. And Peter tells about how to deal with suffering and mistreatment. How to do when you are being mistreated, would be the right way to respond. In life, how many of you have never experienced suffering? How many of you never been mistreated? I guess every one of us, at some point, may say, my boss have treated me wrong, badly, or my teacher have not been fair to us. So pretty well, I can sure that every one of us have been mistreated in some time. So when you are being mistreated, what do you say? The Bible here talks about that we should submit to our authority. The word submit means to place yourself under. To submit is to place yourself under your superior, your authority. And to submit is not just to submit masters who are good, but to submit even to those who are harsh, as Peter taught us today. So today's lesson is talk about submission. How to react when we are suffering. And today's message gives us three reasons how we deal with suffering and what is the benefit of suffering. First, we know that suffering from the scripture says enduring suffering pleases God. Notice in verse 19 and 20, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. So Apostle Peter tells us that if you bear suffering for the sake of God, remembering God, and not because you brought suffering for doing wrong, then it pleases God. One of the benefits of suffering is that it builds character. I sometimes feel sorry for today's generation because they don't have that much opportunity to experience hardship. When I was in the state last week with Joshua, my oldest grandson, was whining and playing an uncontrollable temper tantrum of because he lost some type of a minor privilege. And then I seek remote counseling. I FaceTime Sharon, and then Sharon over FaceTime counsel Joshua. And then I still remember what Sharon says. Hey, Joshua, you are the oldest in your sibling, and I was the oldest in my family. Joshua, you know what grandma did when she was young? Joshua said, yeah, what? And then Sharon started sharing her life story about being the oldest sibling in the family, how she has to go into the market to buy food and then cook for the family because Tai Po, great-grandmom, have to work to earn a living. And then Sharon said, I have to wash the clothes for my brother and sister because there was no washing machine. So every week, she has to wash, hand wash all the clothes. And Sharon encouraged Joshua, you are the oldest boy. You have to take care of your sibling. Well, I think for Joshua, it is pretty hard to imagine a life that he has to go to the market to buy food and coal and to wash the clothes for Rachel and Timothy. But in any case, it calms him down after hearing the story of his grandmother. So, suffering, hardship, actually build us up. But in order to be good, to be beneficiary, it has to be, the suffering has to be through no fault of your own. If you endure it because you did something wrong, Peter said, there is no benefit. You are just receiving what it is due to you. But if you suffer for doing good, then it pleases God. For example, if you constantly show up for work late and your boss fire you, don't say that you are fired because you are Christians. You are fired because you are lazy. You're late for work. And if at school or at work, people don't like you, don't say that people don't like you because you are holy Christians, while in fact, they don't like you because you have a holier-than-thou attitude. So sometimes it is hard to tell what portion of suffering that you are responsible. You know, there's no black and white. It says clear cut who is at fault. But in any situation, you should own up your portion of blame and pray to God for forgiveness and your strength in endurance, suffering. The second lesson is enduring suffering fulfills your calling. In verse 21, it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. The Apostle Peter did not always embrace suffering in his early life. When he was following Jesus as a disciple, once he rebuked Jesus for the intention of going to the cross. And later on, he denied Jesus 3 times in order to avoid arrest. Yet, after witnessing the resurrection of his Lord and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, Apostle Peter embraced suffering as a blessing. In Acts 5, Peter and the other apostles were persecuted by the religious leader for healing a leper, a paralyzed man. And they were flogged and threatened by the Sanhedrin, who is the highest religious council. And the Bible says they left the Sanhedrin because they have been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. So the apostles' attitude was changed completely. They considered suffering and persecution as a privilege. Later on, in 1 Peter, the apostle wrote many verses about suffering. Chapter 3, verse 14. But even if you shall suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. So Apostle Peter talks about there is a higher purpose in suffering. Chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. So Peter was saying, don't think that suffering comes to you as something surprise. It is God's calling, God's plan for you. It is to bless you, to build you up. Throughout life, every one of us will experience suffering, injustice at some point in our life. And the difference is how you respond to these sufferings. If you endure it, you fulfill your calling as a follower of Jesus Christ. God has called you to suffer for his glory. And one of the purposes is for his with glory, for witnessing and for evangelism. Because when Christians suffered and responded in a positive, joyful, and graceful way, the world take notice. One illustration of this is what happened to the church in China. During the 1950s, when China was under a very severe dictatorship rule, the bamboo curtain was closed. All foreign missionaries were kicked out of the country, not allowed. And these missionaries have been working in China for almost 200 years. At the time, all the missionaries were ordered out of China. The estimated Christian population after working in China for 200 years were about 1 million Chinese Christians in China. So, After 1950s, between 1950s and 1970s, China was totally closed off from foreign missionaries, foreign mission work. So what happened to the Chinese church? Yet, when 1970s, China gradually started opening the doors to the outside world. And what we find out is, after 20 years of severe isolation, when the door was opened, there were about 30 million Christians in China, a multiple of 30 times, with no outside missionaries, with severe persecution of the church. Yet the church grew 30 times. Evangelism prospers when the world sees the suffering of Christians. When Christians suffered for the sake of the gospel, for the good, the outside world saw the seriousness. Christians mean business, and what they believe is true and genuine. Third lesson from this passage: enduring suffering is a way of being like Jesus. Let's hear verse 21 to 23. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Here, we learn of Jesus' example on suffering, enduring suffering. And interestingly, it deals mostly with words. During suffering, Jesus speaks no deceit. When we were being accused, we tend to speak back. And when we speak back, we usually twist the detail a bit, maybe exaggerate a bit to our favor. But here, the Bible said, speak no deceit. Jesus speak no deceit. And when people insult him, Jesus speak no insult. And people mistreated him, Jesus speak no threat. So Jesus responded to suffering with silence. And this is a good example for us to follow, trusting that God will vindicate you. So here we have, nobody wants to welcome suffering, but let us face it, suffering, mistreatment will come to us one day, sooner or later. And when it does, the Bible encourages to endure suffering because it pleases God. To endure suffering because it fulfills God's calling in our lives. And to endure suffering is a way of being like Jesus. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for suffering for us, leaving us an example. Suffering is a mysterious way for us to receive glory. We thank you for your good example. And we pray that as Christians, we also follow your example so that the world will see us, knowing that our God is good, our God is faithful. and that brings glory to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.